Ocean FM.
The gardening slot on Northwest Today, thanks to Feeney's Garden Centre, Glen Carr, offering the most useful lawn care tips. Feeney's proudly behind all frontline workers.
Liam Feeney of Feeney's Garden Centre with us once again. Good morning to you, Liam, and welcome along once more to the programme. And we're going to talk about first about hedging this morning. And there are so many questions every week about hedging and cutting hedges and so forth. So is it the time at the moment to cut a hedge? And can you legally cut a hedge at the moment?
Well, I'd say, Niall, we had a hard winter and it was very hard on hedges, and hedges went slightly out of shape. You'll find that the past 2 weeks were very mild, very wet, and hedges have absolutely turned. There's a lot of leaf on hedges that wasn't there a fortnight ago. So the hedges around your house that you want to keep as formal hedges, yes, you are entitled lawfully to cut those hedges, and it's just a matter of cutting the hedge. Be well aware of birds nesting. You may on occasion come on a bird's nest, leave that little section, go back to it again a second time, but it's a very important time to cut the hedge, because the first flush of growth is over. And if you cut it now, your hedge is going to be starting to come back into shape. Maybe watch the conifers now until they recover a bit more from the winter burning. But definitely all hedges, it's a great time to get in now. It's easier to cut a hedge 3 times a year, and rather than going in and cutting it once at the back end when, no doubt about it, it doesn't get a chance to recover properly. So it's a good time to get your hedges in order, in particular box hedges. It's a great time to give your box hedge a nice trim for the one simple reason. There is a blight there that's affecting box hedges, but if it gets a nice trim now, it has that first flush of lime green growth on it, and if you give it a nice trimming now, you have been feeding it, give it a nice trimming now, I think we're responsible ourselves for making box blight worse, because we're cutting it at the wrong time.
Yeah, so now is the time to cut your box edge, and how severe a cut would you give it at this time of year?
Well, with the box hedge, if you've been following how to do it right, it shouldn't need a hectic trimming. Severe pruning is as a result of missing the opportunity some months back. So really and truly, severe pruning, it might be okay for beech, it might be okay for gristlinia or some of the other hedges, certainly not conifers and certainly not box, because the severe trimming is only adding to the problem of box blight. So what you do is you keep a nice formal hedge. It's not out of the question to go out and prune your box once every fortnight, once every 3 weeks, because you'll always keep it nice and formal and nice and neat.
Right, okay. And no doubt there will be more questions coming our way about hedging. Before we leave hedging, apart from cutting hedging, when is the best time to plant hedging, be it from cuttings or from bare root or whatever? When is the best time of year, as the listener wants to know? And they have Escalonia cuttings they're asking about.
No, the Escalonia cuttings, they shouldn't even be tried until at least the 1st of July. Then you can try your cuttings. Take the cutting, take something that has relatively hard timber, and not the hardest timber in the Escalonia plant, but probably something that has 1 year's growth behind it. Cut your slips into 9-inch pieces and dip the end into rooting powder and put it into a 50-50 grit compost mix or grit soil mix. It doesn't really matter, but that's a July job.
Right, okay, let's go to some more of the questions. Grow more, is it too late, Liam, to put grow more on my fruit trees at the moment or not? I'm presuming that is what you put on them.
Well, you're into the grow more season now. It's mineral fertilizer, so you're into the grow more season. It'll be all right on blackcurrants, it'll be all right on gooseberries, it'll actually be all right on all fruit, including apples. But what you need to do is get into a program where you're feeding the fruit trees in the dormant season, because you're feeding the roots at that stage, and that's what leads to a good fruit tree.
Okay, like I said, still more questions coming in hedging, and the laurel hedge seems to be ever popular, and Marie's been on to us just to ask Liam to repeat what he said before, what to use on her laurel hedge. It's not growing too well in the middle, doing well at each side, but not in the middle. So what did you say before about enhancing laurel hedges?
That's actually a problem with laurel in the northwest. It likes very, very even soil. If the soil has been disturbed by excavation or whatever, you'll always find that the laurel, it can be green at one end, it can be green in the middle, and in between you have these yellow plants. Now, it is an acidic plant by nature, so I find, again, the sulfate of iron, and again, any of the ericaceous feeds are very good for your laurel. And you need to get into a program, because it continues. It doesn't just go away. So if you're feeding your laurel hedge, use an acidic fertilizer. I like the sulfate of iron at the base of it, because it acidifies the ground. But what you need to do is you need to be in a program where you're feeding it certainly every 3 weeks or a month until it starts to recover.
This listener says that they have sprayed weed killer on new shoots on Japanese knotweed. Will this kill it as it grows, Liam? And I know you were talking about Japanese knotweed a couple of weeks ago.
I'll tell you, that's absolutely a waste of good effort, because it's a specific chemical that you use. Again, there's only so many people in the county entitled to use that chemical. Any of the other ones, even Grazon, it'll have no effect on it. It won't go deep. Plus the fact that you're actually hitting the Japanese knotweed at the wrong time. The right time to hit Japanese knotweed is just after flowering in August. Then it pulls the chemical further down into the roots. And it's just wrong to be at your Japanese knotweed yourself. It's not something that you will find a quick fix solution to.
Right, okay. This person has window boxes and are wondering, do you always or should you always put grit at the bottom of the window box for drainage?
Absolutely. You need drainage, and the grit at the bottom, maybe 1 inch in the window box, certainly 1 inch even along the bottom of the window box, because that allows the water to get out. Water can actually do as much harm if it's been overwatered as being underwatered by not using water. So, but you still need the grit to remove the excess water.
Right, okay. I'm wondering, Liam, will broken eggshells around plants stop snails from getting up on the plants to eat them? I have a problem at the moment.
Yeah, look at Niall, if you want to call it old wives' tales, they do actually work to a point, but if the slugs or snails are eating your plants, you're not going to succeed without using your slug pellets of whatever description you want, and a lot of them are organic now. But it's really and truly the only way to get on top of the slugs and snails. You need to understand they're much more active on a damp evening heading towards night, or a wet evening even. And that's the time to go out and put out your slug pellets, not on a dry evening, because they're not so active in dry weather.
Mary wants to know if it takes a long time to get a wisteria growing. And I can answer that for it does. And it's even longer to get it to flower. Am I not wrong?
Well, I suppose Niall, wisteria loves dry ground and it loves sunshine. They're the two things that it needs, and it absolutely detests heavy ground. Absolutely. It's not terribly hard to get them to grow in the right conditions. If you have the dry ground and if you have plenty of sunshine, south-facing wall, it will grow, and it looks slightly scrawny until such time as it comes into flower. But dry ground is the solution for it.
That's the key. All right, okay. When is the best time, Liam, to take lilac cuttings to propagate? What would you suggest?
All of that is early July, late June, yep. Early July. And they're easy propagated, very easy propagated.
Can you ask Liam if there's anything I can do to save a Buxus tree, which has blight on one side of it? It looks completely dead. So can I save it or not?
Well, that's exactly what we're after talking about, yeah, Niall.
The box edging.
What you do with your box is, first of all, it needs a really, really good feed. You start early in the year, but that's gone by now. You use your grow more at this point. It's something with a little more kick in it. You need to study the tree and see, did it get shaded by another plant that was very close to the side that has gone blighted? Where it has gone blighted, knock off some of the blighted foliage. It breaks awful easy. Knock off some of the branches, and you'll find that the rest of the plant has loads and loads of little green shoots waiting to come out. You will do it, and it's something you need to ask in a garden centre. It's nearly too long for me to talk about now, but I can talk about it any day at all. Yeah.
Okay, two questions on dahlias. Number one, how do you set dahlias? They're in bulb form. How do you set them, Liam?
Well, dahlias need to, you're on the time for setting them now. So what dahlias are, they're actually a corm. You keep the very, look at the dahlia. The bulbs, the four or five little bulbs that's gone up to a cut back stem, if you want to call it, that needs to be flush with the ground or just underneath the ground. They love good soil. They're heavy feeders. They love good soil. And just put that little point at or slightly under the level of your soil at the moment. Keep a tight eye for slugs. Possibly before you plant dahlias, certainly if you have bought them in pack form, it's a good idea just to dip them in water overnight and let the bulbs start to fill. But slugs are the biggest problem at the moment, and you need to keep a tight eye on that.
Okay, and apart from slugs, this person has a problem with ants eating their dahlias and their flocks. Is there anything I should or could put on them to
prevent
that?
Well, there is an ant killer there. We grow a good few dahlias ourselves in our garden, and I couldn't say it's a terrible problem with ours. But if the lady is saying it's affecting her, definitely the ant killer is there, and it can be shook around, and it does work, and it definitely moves your ants on. It's just an ordinary shake-on solution. On, you can put it over or under. But I haven't heard of them at flocks or dahlias, and it's certainly not a problem I have come up against.
Okay, well, speaking of problems, back to the slugs. Slugs are eating my cabbage plants, Liam. The blue pellets just aren't working. Is there anything else I could do?
Niall, we spend time and time again telling people, it's pick the time that you go out with the pellets. I know blue pellets do work, and I know that growing success blue pellet that first of all we have, and I'm sure every other garden centre in the country has it, I know that it works. It's all down to understanding when your slugs are going to come out. It would give me an indication that person is using them at the wrong time, and I ask in a garden centre how exactly to put out the slug pellets, and you don't need an awful lot of them, Niall. I can tell you that for definite.
Yeah, okay. We'll take two more questions. And this is a general one. I think I know the plant this person is referring to. But Liam, do you know the name of a plant? It's not a weed, a proper plant. It looks like knotweed. It has red branches. And they say they think there was some in front of the Garda station. I presume it's Sligo Garda station, maybe not. I think I know the one they're talking about, but can you advise them on that?
I don't know. Is that person talking about Photinia red robin or something like that? But it sounds awfully like Japanese knotweed, because it has a red stem on it. The leaves appear slightly on the red side. So I'm wondering, is it Photinia? But I don't know where it is in front of the Garda station in Sligo. I don't know.
No, I'm assuming it's Sligo. Okay, maybe we can give us more information. What's the name of that? Is it dogwood? Is that what it's called? It's
Cornus albus iberica, the dogwood.
Yeah, it wouldn't be dogwood.
That has a red stem. Yeah. That has a red stem. And But I'm not sure, is that the plant she's talking about? It should be in good green leaf now, but it has the red stem and it's grown for the red stem in the winter time.
Right, okay, all right. We'll take one more before we let Liam go. A question about wildflowers. Is it too late to sow wildflowers or not at this stage, Liam?
You're not too late to sow wildflowers, but as you said before, Niall, I say it, it's not the most simple garden to create, because the rain in the northwest leaves wildflowers competing heavily with grass. So it's but you're not too late, is the question the person asked. You can sow wildflower ideally on bare soil, and the barer the better. Try and eliminate all the weeds. If you have to use a glyphosate spray, use it. Make sure that the weeds aren't there, because there'll be less competition for the wildflower seed.
Okay, we'll slip in one quick question before we finish. A very simple question about a rose. I have a rose growing. It seems like it is dying, but how can I exactly tell if it's dying or not, Liam? Is there any surefire way?
Well, the truth of it is, you can, first of all, if it's green and if you have leaf, it's living. Secondly, it doesn't mean that shoots are dying on the same plant. So what you do is you break off the dead shoots and you feed the plant as normal, because it has the ability to recover all of those branches. It puts out little growth shoots from where it has been grafted. So, but if you have, if you want to call it green leaf, your rose is growing, break off the dead shoots. They'll break. If they snap, they're definitely dead. But most important, give it a good rose food.